Hi, I'm Becca Lewis, your host for the Shift the Story podcast, where we share tips and tools for making shifts in our lives from the inside out. Today, my guest is passionate, outspoken, authentic, and lover of life, Deb Ozarko. This woman speaks direct from her heart, and in the process, expands hearts all around her. She shares her story of grief and its effect, and how that impelled her to be more authentic and loving, and become even more willing to follow the light wherever it takes her. Listen to Deb explain how she plans to leave the world a better place. I promise you will be inspired. I could go on and on, but I better just shut up and let you listen. So come with me as we shift the story together. All right, I think we're up and running. We've been talking for a little while already. This is my friend Deb. So Deb, can you introduce yourself and tell everybody a little bit about who you are?
Oh boy, start with big questions. You're just like,
like, well, who are you?
Who am I? Who am I? Okay, that question, who am I? It's interesting because I'm just putting out a blog post about the authentic self and defining who we are, and how we often have such a difficult time defining who we are based on who we are. We always usually use labels to identify who we are. You know, I'm a mom, I'm a writer, I'm a this, I'm a that. But if I was to define myself based on the essence of who I am someone who just loves this planet. I am a lover. I am a lover. I am someone who loves planet Earth. I love all of the beings on planet Earth. I am a voracious seeker of truth. I'm a critical thinker. And I am someone who wants to do everything in my power to live the best life that I possibly can as the greatest expression of who I'm meant to be, so that I leave the world a better place. I just want to draw my last breath knowing that I lived every ounce of Deb Ozarko that I possibly could. So how's that for an answer?
People are going to say, really? And I'm going to say, yeah, really. That's really is who you are. That's absolutely who you are. And you said it so beautifully. I just love it. So I'm always feeling so grateful that we met in such a strange way just a couple years ago. It was like a gift from the universe. So today we're talking about shifting, how you shift life story. So I know you've shifted your life story more than one time, but is there any time in particular that you'd like to share how you made a shift? Like, how did you do it? Why did you do it? What happened when you did? Any of those concepts of, or do you have one in mind?
Oh, there's so many, but the biggest one, I think we all have those, right? There's so many. The one that had the most profound effect on me was when my mother passed away suddenly in January of 2010. It was completely unexpected, and really it turned my world upside down and sent me on an internal journey of searching for really, to coin a cliche phrase, the meaning of life. Why am I here? Why am I going through all of this pain? Why? There were just so many whys. And as soon as it didn't happen right away. Before all the whys happened, you know, my mother had passed away. I had this crazy notion in my head that I was going to do an Ironman triathlon. And it wasn't like I just jumped off the couch and said, I'm going to do an Ironman. I was a triathlete at that point in time, but I decided that I was going to take it a quantum leap further. Instead of doing, you know, Olympic distance races and shorter races, I was going to train for the Ironman race. And that's a pretty epic physical pursuit. So
just pretty epic, like epic. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, it's not fun. I'll tell you, it's a lot of training. So I hired a coach, and for 8 months I was distracted. So this is key. I was distracted mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually from really going into the depth of the pain that I needed to, because I was focused on getting to the Ironman finish line. But what's interesting is I never enjoyed the training. I didn't even enjoy the race. Because I was carrying the burden of overwhelming grief with me everywhere that I went. And I was consciously suppressing it, which is unusual for me because we were talking about this early. I'm a feeler. I'm somebody who doesn't suppress emotions. But it was just too much for me. All of it at once was just too much for me. So it wasn't until I crossed the Ironman finish line, I just felt this overwhelming emptiness. I had this illusion that when I crossed the finish line, and I can't remember this famous guy's name who always says, "You are an Iron Man." But when I thought, I thought that when I would hear Deborah Ozarko, "You are an Iron Man," that I would feel elated and lifted and healed. And I don't know what I thought, but I thought that something different was going to happen than what did happen. But what did happen was this overwhelming emptiness and a sense of loss. Like I didn't know who I was. I felt more lost at the end of that finish line than I did before I started. And it sent me into this depression. And depression is not something that I've ever really been familiar with either. But it just kept getting bigger and bigger and deeper and deeper. And I did some research afterwards, and I found out that there's actually a term for it, the dark night of the soul. So yes. I actually experienced the dark night of the soul. And for 6 weeks, I could barely get out of bed. I could barely eat. There were so many people around me who loved me, and I couldn't feel it, see it. I was so lost. And I don't really know exactly what the moment was where something shifted, but there was a shift. It was like somebody poked a hole in the darkness, and that little stream of light was all I needed to just tweak my consciousness in a way where I was like, this is not who I am. And when that realization hit me, then all of a sudden I just, I was able to get out of bed and I'd take a shower, and it was baby steps. And then I started searching. And then as soon as I said yes to searching for more, all of a sudden all kinds of information started to download. You need to do this and this and this. And that led me on, and all these crazy, they weren't crazy. This is what I needed. I studied NLP. I became an NLP practitioner, thinking that it was going to be helping me become a better coach, because I was a sport coach at that time. But I had no idea it was going to heal me so profoundly. And that led me on, that actually inspired me to explore this place called the Monroe Institute. And that's kind of a connection between us.
Yeah, that's where we didn't meet, but did.
Yeah. And I looked at the website and I was like, I have no clue what this place is. The website totally confused me. It was way out of my realm of knowledge, but I felt so called to go in there. Like the calling was, as soon as I woke up enough to get out of the darkness, the calling really started to really overtake my body. And so all I had to do was say yes, 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 yes. And then I went on this journey of healing, and I took four programs at the Monroe Institute. They were profoundly transformative. And it's just been like that ever since. So the shift was not one of those, profound moments. I can't really say exactly what it was, but I can tell you that the impetus for the shift was the death of my mother. And since then, what I've realized is that I've had deaths that have come into my life. Death and life, they're opposite sides of the same coin. They're there. And I realize that with every transition, every time I say goodbye to somebody, there's another shift that brings me closer to life. So death actually brought me closer to life. It made me realize how finite life is, and how there's a sense of urgency to living as fully and completely and lovingly as we can in the few moments that we actually have. And that's what they feel like. They feel like moments now on this planet. So that's kind of my long-winded answer to your question. Hopefully I'm going in the right direction.
Every direction is the right direction, Deb.
Love that.
You know that, right? But I love that you said that I know what you're talking about, that dark night of the soul, but I love how we had, right before we started recording, we're talking about light, and then you said that light came in and started the process. And that is just that, all you need is that one little pinprick of light, like something that leads you out, and you followed it. But the shift for you was the willingness. Don't you think, what if you would have said, no, I'm not doing any of those things? So part of the shift, isn't it, to say, I'm following what I've been told to do, or led to do, or guided to do, or I just take one step at a time because you don't really know where it's going to lead to?
Well, that's the thing is there's that saying by Lao Tzu, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. And as soon as that pinprick of light, and that's a great metaphor, that's perfect. That's exactly what it seemed like for me. It was just a pinprick. I felt like the power in that light was so strong that I couldn't say no. I couldn't say no. There was just no way. I can't even surmise what it would be like if I did. I would be on antidepressants. I would be a basket case. I'd be just like everybody else in the world.
I was going to say, no way. I think where many people go.
I couldn't do it. But that's kind of the essence of who I am anyways. I'm not the type of person who gives up. I'm the type of person who wants to know what's going on in the world. I want to know the truth. I want to swallow the red pill. I want to take the red pill every single day as much as it hurts, because it means that I'm living more authentically, right? So when this happened, it was a surprise. But it was also, it made me realize that although I've always lived a life of intention and love and compassion, I wasn't expressing myself as fully as I possibly could. And so it was an awakening, to coin again a cliche phrase, but it was an awakening to a greater sense of who I am and how I can express myself even more fully. And that was, it was a beautiful gift in an ugly package. And I think that that's kind of the way life is, you know. So the best gifts often do come in packages that are unpleasant.
The one you wouldn't choose.
Yeah, exactly.
Under the Christmas tree, not that one. I don't want that one. Well, I've noticed, I think we've known each other a couple years now.
I think
or
so.
Or a year. I don't know. It seems forever. But yeah. But in that time, I've watched you become more and more expressive of who you are. And so is that just that shift expanding, or has other shifts happened in the meantime that have expanded it for you?
Oh, there's definitely other shifts. As I say, as I expand more into my calling, I feel, and really that's the only language that I can use, as I expand more into my calling, I feel more connected to who I truly am. And I feel like that alone is a pretty profound shift too. Like, I just keep saying yes. I keep saying yes. I keep saying yes. And it's like, whatever I need to say, whatever I need to do, whatever I need to write, I just say, what does Oprah say? She says, just use me. She says to the universe, just use me. And I feel like that's what I'm saying when I say yes. It's like, just use me. Use me. And I know that I'm very passionate. I think very critically. And I say things that make a lot of people uncomfortable because they don't want to go to the places that I'm willing to go. And I get so many emails from people who thank me saying, you know, I've turned a blind eye to that because it was too painful. But you brought it up in a way that made me think in a different way. You know, you weren't accusatory, you weren't derogatory, you just inspired me to think in a different way. And that's exactly what I want. And I feel like, I guess the shifts would be when I get emails and letters from people who listen to my podcast or who read my blog posts and who say, yeah, I've been thinking that for a long time, I've been thinking that too. And it's that like-minded community. And I feel like, I don't feel like I'm a leader, I don't feel like I'm anything great, I'm just somebody who's saying what other people are afraid to say. That's it. That's the only difference, is I'm just saying it, and most people are suppressing it. So I'm giving them permission to say, yeah, I feel that way too. And that's it. So that's a pretty profound shift too, just by saying yes and by honoring my calling and by feeling comfortable with who I am, whether I don't care what other people think, because I mean, I don't want to.
And that in itself is amazing. I mean, that just to not care, it's just amazing.
It's like, and I love people, and my intention is never to hurt anybody, ever. My intention is to wake people up.
Yeah.
And I know how great it's felt when I woke up, and how I continue to wake up. And if I can take people by the hand and say, come with me, if they're willing, then that is a beautiful gift.
It is. And you know, one of the things that you were talking about before, I think probably before we started calling on the call. So your authentic self, and part of that is, you said, answering your calling. But the other thing that you had talked about was that you weren't doing anything that didn't feel authentic to you. So, and that's such a huge shift for most of us, to say, no, that's not mine. It doesn't feel right to me. I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And because most of us just do whatever we do because that's what we're supposed to do. And you're saying, I'm following my calling, but if it doesn't feel authentic, if it's not matching up to my passion, I'm not going to do it.
Exactly. And that's something that's so important, is we often negate what's going on in our bodies, what we're feeling in our bodies, what we feel in our hearts, what we feel with our souls. And all of that's really visceral. Like, it's you were talking about kinesthetic. So for,
yeah,
you know, I'm speaking because I'm so kinesthetic, and you can see I'm just waving my arms around like crazy. I'm Canadian, but I'm not French Canadian, but you almost think that I am French Canadian with the way I'm waving my arms around. But I am a real feeler, and I feel everything in my body, and I believe that we all do, and some people more than others. And I'm a big feeler. So our intuition, our intuitive self, our heart, our soul, whatever language feels comfortable for listeners, whatever you want to call it, your gut, it speaks to us through our bodies. And we know when something is right and something isn't right. We know that because we can feel it in our bodies. But, and our bodies process information at 3 trillion cellular interactions per second. And how they ever figured that one out is beyond
me.
I have no idea. Our minds, our intellects, on the other hand, process information at 7 ± 2 bits of information at any given time. And yet we covet the intellect. So as soon as our intellect shuts our bodies down, we've disconnected from our intuitive selves. And then we start walking the zombie path, doing things that are not authentic.
Yeah.
And my mission is to just get people into their bodies and into their hearts and let that part lead and let the intellect implement. And that's a beautiful marriage when the two are combined like that.
Oh, I agree with you completely. That's how it goes, and not the other way around. Even though we've been trained to go the other way around, it's not. It starts from intuition and then let the intellect take care of it. The intuition goes, this is the right way, and intellect says, oh, we know how to pull that off.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yeah.
That's all it's good for.
Exactly.
It's not good for anything else. Everything else, just shut up.
It would be a different world if we lived like that.
Oh, it will be a different world.
Yes, yes.
As we live like that.
It will be a different world as we continue having conversations like this.
Exactly. I know every time I talk to you, Deb, it's like, I get so excited and so joyful. I know we always laugh the whole way, and I don't. As soon as I saw you, I started laughing because it's like. So I don't know that compassion stuff must just fill you with joy. That's all I can say.
Well, I feel exactly the same way with you. You have this. You radiate this light. That's the only way to describe it. So you can talk about light because you know it. You live it. You beam it.
Pinprick. At least a pinprick. All right, so I'm taking a page out of your book because, as you said, you do podcasts, and I got to be on your podcast not long ago. So you always have a question at the end. So I have one.
Oh.
So here's mine. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me make sure I say it to correctly. So what is the one piece of advice that you would give anyone else in the midst of changing a life story?
Trust.
Ah.
That's the first thing that just You know, when I close my eyes and just say, feed me the answer. And what came in was trust. Just trust.
Trust.
Trust. Trust yourself. Trust that the next smallest step will always present itself. Trust.
Yeah, well, trust the light. That's kind of what
trust
we're saying.
Trust the light.
Trust the light. Oh, we have a new thing that we can say to each other. Trust the light. Go to the light. No. Thank you so much, Deb. I'm going to stop the recording. So thank you so much for being on this call, because it's just such a joy. It's my excuse to get to talk to you.
Oh, thank you, Becca. There's never an excuse required. You can call anytime. And I'm so grateful that you're doing this. I feel honored to be a part of it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wasn't that awesome? A little side note, since Deb talked about baby steps. We met because I followed an impulsion, took those baby steps, and the outcome has been glorious. So if there's something you have been thinking of doing, but are hesitating, wondering where it will lead, I encourage you to go forward one step at a time. Links to Deb and what she does is in the show notes for this episode, which you will find at theshift.com/podcast. As always, I thank you for rating this podcast on iTunes and for your comments and reviews. It's the lifeblood of every podcaster. Without you, where would we be? Here's your shift hack for today. Trust. Trust the light. We all know the difference between the dark and the light. Turn around and walk away from the dark. Follow the light. Till next time, let's just keep shifting the story together.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.